Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is there anything anyone really wants to go over before we start? Anything?
Yes, I have a question.
Go for it.
Are we allowed to swear?
So
we try not to.
We try not to, but if you're trying to say boy, for example, which I know you're gonna, that's fine, and then we can probably beep that out.
Okay, fine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Curzon Film Podcast. This week, we'll be speaking to the great Julianne Moore about her latest film, the disco-infused comedy drama, Gloria Bell. I'm Sam Howlett, and joining me on the dance floor this week are Kelly Powell.
Hello.
And making her pod debut, Curzon's head of theatrical marketing, Susie Bold.
Hi, it's actually Bold.
I'll do that again.
Bold by name, bold by nature.
Bold by name,
you
bold
can
by
keep
nature.
It in, it's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bold by name, bold by nature. I'm never ever going to forget
right.
That again.
It's actually B-O-U-L, please don't stalk me. Hi, it's nice to be here. Thank
Welcome.
You so much.
We'll also be hearing from you as we sent out a call on Twitter for your favourite female-led films of the 21st century. So we'll be going over those a bit later on. Before we hear from Julianne Moore, let's get into some of the background of Gloria Bell. So after making three feature films, Chilean director Sebastian Lelio broke out internationally with Gloria, the story of a middle-aged woman who frequents the nightclubs of Santiago and embarks on a whirlwind romance with a new flame. Following the success of Gloria, Lelio went on to win the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film with A Fantastic Woman, and then in the same year, no less, released Disobedience, starring Rachel McAdams and Rachel Weisz. After a meeting with Julianne Moore a few years later to discuss potential upcoming projects, they both felt like the time was right to revisit the character of Gloria in Gloria Bell. So guys, looking back at Sebastian Lelio's previous work, what is it you think that kind of characterises his films, and then how does Gloria Bell fit into that?
Well, I haven't seen all of them, and I haven't seen Gloria.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I know
this
it's going to be
outrageous.
On Curzon Home Cinema, so I'm going to catch it up there.
Nice.
But I've seen A Fantastic Woman, which I thought was great, and I saw Disobedience. And he's definitely picking a lane, focusing on female characters mm-hmm. in a very in-depth, humanistic way. And he's looking at, you know, people's... inner lives, you know. I think that is his sort of, he's found his sort of niche. Mm-hmm. And he does it very, very well, I must say.
I think all of the, like, characters are very complex. Like, nothing is two-dimensional. There's so many layers and there's so much to get into. And I think it's so rare to have female characters which are that, like, nuanced and sort of, sometimes like difficult to like, but you like them anyway. Or there's just stuff where there's just not black and white. There's a lot of colour in the depth of the character.
Yeah, they feel very real.
Yeah. I also think that each of his film has a really like nice identity in terms of like the cinematography and how it's made. Like you can really feel the colours. Like Disobedience is set in London, like North London. It's got that kind of grey, kind of almost like, I don't know, it's kind of like oppressive, like even the setting feels a bit oppressive and it's this very like intense love story.
Yeah.
And I think he does that so well. Like Gloria is like vibrant and colourful and interesting. And I think that's what he does. I think that's his little magic. Yeah. He really brings this really strong sense of identity to his films.
Yeah, yeah. And he creates this world that you totally believe this character lives in.
100%.
Like, wholeheartedly. Yeah, totally.
Like, Julianne Moore is so famous and has done so many things that, you know, I think any actress or anyone at that level of their game, they have that's almost like a hindrance because they have to like really establish that character. But there isn't a moment that you're not like, it's Gloria. I'm just watching Gloria. She's real. She lives down the road. Like, you just believe her.
That's so true.
Yeah. Well, in the interview you're about to hear with Julianne Moore, she says that Sebastian Elio is interested in showing the drama in everyday life. And I think that sums up his films really perfectly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So as you said there, Julianne Moore is so famous and has done so many things, like been nominated for 4 Oscars for her roles in Boogie Nights, The End of the Affair, Far From Heaven and The Hours, and then won in 2015 for Still Alice. Here she stars as the title character in Gloria Bell, a free-spirited divorcee with a full-time job, grown-up kids and a grandchild who still frequents the nightclubs of Los Angeles, where she meets Arnold, played by John Turturro, and as the pair begin a romantic relationship, they rediscover the joys of budding love and the complications of dating, all set to the background of a killer disco soundtrack. I spoke to Julianne Moore about the rarity of roles for older women in cinema today, her experience with working with Sebastian Elio, and making a different kind of rom-com.
Delighted to welcome Julianne Moore to the Curzon podcast.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about Gloria Bell, of course, which is, you know, not only do we rarely see a female character of this age leading a film, but also one whose life is not boring, but rather ordinary.
Right.
Can you talk about the drive to get this kind of character with this kind of life on screen?
Wow, I'm so compelled by Sebastian Lelio's work and by his insistence almost on showing the drama in an ordinary life. I mean, you see that in A Fantastic Woman, you see it in the original Glorious, in Disobedience, that these are people who are living their lives in regular cities, who are engaged in relationships and in dramas that are inherent in what is real. And for me, those are the kind of movies I like to watch the most. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really interested in real life, you know, and people talking. It was a no-brainer. That's my phone. That's my phone that's going off.
That's all right.
Yeah, but I'm like, I can see your eyes going. I was like, oh, no. I bet it's my husband. Let's see. Uh-huh. It's my husband. Yeah, okay. How do I turn it? I'll go like this. If I go like that. Oh, you know what I'll do? I'll put it on airplane mode. Perfect. That's it. We worked it out.
There we go.
It's really funny how much that watches you go. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to say it's my phone. I was going to ignore it, but I was going on for too long.
So what works really well about Gloria Bell is that another film with this middle-aged, divorced female character going to a nightclub could be either really broadly comedic and it would expect the audience to kind of laugh at her, or it could be the other way, where it could be really kind of sad and want you to feel sorry for her. But I think there's something really liberating about Gloria going to the nightclubs, and you don't want to laugh at her or feel sorry for her. You really want to just be with her. Can you talk about that?
Well, that's why I wanted to do this movie with Sebastian, actually, because when I saw his original film and was so compelled by his filmmaking that I wanted to meet him. And then when we met, we had a long, long conversation about it, but he had a misunderstanding and said, I know that you don't want to remake this movie. And I was like, oh, no. I would if you directed it. But that was the only way that I was going to do it, because this was such an original interpretation of a story and such a humanistic worldview that I wanted to work with Sebastian. I didn't want to just... It wasn't that the actual story is what I wanted. I wanted his, directorial gaze, you know. And so it's the way he sees this person, the way he sees all the people in his films. There's a scene in A Fantastic Woman where Daniela Vega is having breakfast, I think, and I can't remember if it's her brother or her sister. And their spouse. And the way he shoots it, he's kind of on a wide shot and the three of them are having breakfast, and it's so ordinary and it's so compelling, and it's so generous in its kind of telling, that I love it, because isn't that, you know, there are so many movies that tell the audience how to feel or judge a character or say like, oh, this is a person. What they're saying sometimes is this is a person who's not real. Mm. And I think that I'm not compelled by that in a film. I'm compelled by reality, you know. And so I always want to give, I'm always trying to tell the audience this is real because I want them to be able to see their own selves, to be able to dream about their own lives, to have that kind of really intimate connection.
Yeah, and can you talk a bit about the sort of collaborative process of this film, working with Sebastian to try and get, you know, what you wanted from this character across to the audience?
Well, I really trusted him. Yeah. He spoke about that in another interview that we gave, and that's so, so important. And with an actor-director relationship is that they're, first of all, you need to understand their vision. Mm. You know, you need to know that you're on the same page, and then you need to be able to relinquish yourself in a sense so that one of the things that Sebastian does, we do many, many, many takes. And in an independent film, we're not really used to that.
Yeah.
Generally, we don't have any time.
Sure.
So you might do one or two takes and move on. David Cronenberg very famously will do just like one take.
Right, okay.
You're like, oh God, you know, but that's his style. Yeah. But Sebastian will take, if he has a half an hour to shoot a scene, you will do as many takes as you could possibly do. And at first it's unsettling because you're like, did I do something wrong?
Yeah.
And then you realize that he's after a kind of a disintegrated behavior or something that you only get by doing a small thing over and over again. To the extent that I would say that to other actors, you know, I remember Holland Taylor was like, what's going on? And I'm like, this is what we do. Like, this is how he yeah. like, he'll do 20 takes if he can. And so you become very disinhibited after a while.
Okay. And I just want to talk a bit about the film as a rom-com as well, because it is a kind of rom-com in a way.
It is,
you don't really
see
those as much anymore. Can you talk about that part of the film?
I love that you brought up the humor, because that's really important. I mean, and there's some things in it that are very, very deliberately funny. But of course, behaviorally, you don't signal that there's a joke. You just sort of let the joke play out. There's that point where I take off John's compression device, and it was very hard not to laugh because it is so deliberately funny. Because I just did it as slowly as possible, so you just hear the Velcro kind of going. But there's a lot of pleasure in that, you know. Sebastian talks about that with the music. He goes, these are songs that are not guilty pleasures. They're just pleasures. And the thing about romantic comedy is that it's pleasurable to watch, because a lot of us do fall in love and couple up, and we're interested in the machinations of relationships. And so to know that we can kind of bask in the pleasure of those feelings of watching people try, you know, interacting and falling in love, and that's an important element to the film. This film is not hard to watch. Mm. It's really, really pleasurable. It has its ups and downs.
Sure.
And it might not be, you know, there's some darkness in it, but that's the way life is too, right?
Amazing. Julianne Moore, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank you very much, Julianne Moore, for being on the show. So let's get into it then. Who is Gloria Bell? What kind of character is she? How is she presented to us? And how does Julianne Moore play her?
Well, I think we kind of touched on it a little bit before you heard the interview. But what Susie was saying, definitely, she plays it so naturally. She just becomes this character. And you totally believe that she is just a middle-aged divorcee in Los Angeles looking for love, really. And, you know, even when she, even the singing, you know, when she sings in her car, because that's a lot in the movie. You know, even the way she's like, she like tries to hit the notes but doesn't quite get there. She just like, it's just those little moments. I think the performance is really captured in like little character moments that, you know, are so subtle and just build on creating this sort of real woman going through everyday life.
And she's got such like bite as a character. Like she's a badass. Yeah. She's not like, I think that for me is kind of why I love it so much, is it's that rom-com, don't want to give away any spoilers, but I suppose it's like, it's a rom-com with an edge.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've seen so many films where the girl kind of bends herself inside out to please the guy, or goes back to him at the end because he makes some like massive ridiculous display of like affection, and it's just different. It's refreshing. She doesn't take any, you know, rubbish. Yeah. There's just something so amazing about seeing a story about somebody who's like at a later part in their life, but still, it's still embracing those themes that you might see in like a film about a younger woman, because that is kind of life, isn't it? Like, it never really stops. Like, there's a scene where she gets really drunk and wakes up the next morning and her mum has to come and rescue her. And, like, I think that's just so amazing, because you can be, like, in your 50s, and I think we have a really, like, weird perception of life that you grow up and then you're suddenly an adult and you're suddenly not making mistakes and just, like, living your life perfectly. But actually, like, you're never really too old for, like, your mum to come and pick you up and like bail you out.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's just so, she's just like, it's just amazing. I love her character in this film.
She's got like, yeah, her character has such a lot of agency. Like it's, you know, you'd think a lesser sort of filmmaker would make this film about this sad, lonely woman, you know, looking for love, and you know, it's, but it isn't that at all. Like Susie's mentioned, it's so vibrant, and this woman is, she's taking ownership of her life. She's trying different things. She's like, she's never a victim. She's like, she's does this weird laugh therapy that she goes to, and she tries out yoga, and she's like, she does things in her life that she wants joy in her life. I think she wants to grow as a person, and it's not a film, it isn't a typical rom-com of like, you know, this woman is struggling with her identity as a divorced woman in her sort of 50s. And her children have left the home. It's not like this traditional paint-by-numbers rom-com that you get with a lot of Hollywood films these days, you know. It's, you know, she's not certain. The man, getting the man in the end is not, it doesn't determine her identity, you know, her identity.
It's not her motivation.
It's not her motivation, exactly.
She's not like, I need to find a man at all costs. It's just like. And it's so interesting how John Turturro has some of the lines which feel like you might expect a woman to say them.
Absolutely.
So like when he says, I thought it was too, I'd never feel this way again or something like that.
Yeah.
That's, you would think, oh, the woman's going to say that. But he's that one. He's almost like the weaker character. Well, he's not, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the one that feels like,
he's the quote unquote emotional one.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's the one at the dinner party who's like, I searched for your eyes. I wasn't there.
It's very like refreshing. Because actually, that's more reflective of real life, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are really complex, aren't they? And you traditionally, I think we get really, film sometimes is quite formulaic in like the man behaves in one way and the girl behaves in another. But that's not what happens in real life. We all kind of take different roles at different times, you know?
They're not stereotypes at all. No. I think that they're fully rounded characters in and of themselves, you know?
I think you said it perfectly as well about how this film could very easily be like, look how funny this woman is, that she's a older woman that still goes to clubs and still hooks up with strange men and tries out drugs. This could be a full-on, really broad, bawdy comedy. But it could also be a kind of look at how sad this woman's life, that she's still trying to cling on to her youth by going to these clubs. And this film's neither of those things. And it's really like liberating seeing Gloria in a club dancing on her own or dancing with a man or whoever she wants to.
Yeah, but it doesn't shy away from the fact that she is lonely. So I think, as you know, as we were saying, she's a complex person. Life is complex. You go through ups and downs. This film follows those. It's like, it doesn't...
It's like you're getting a little snapshot.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like,
for sure.
Just a little peek. Like, I want to know what happens, like, next year with her.
Yeah, check in with Gloria Bell.
Like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a sequel. Come on, guys.
I think the editing really plays into that, too. How the film, it doesn't have much of, like, a plot. It's not really a plot-driven film. It's very much character-focused. And also, the scenes are very short, apart from, I think, the dinner scene. But most of the scenes are 5 or 10 minutes. There's a lot of scenes. And do you think that plays into this idea that we're just seeing a little part of someone's life condensed together rather than this whole big sprawling?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I think, as Susie said, it's like snapshots of these moments that make up her life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what he does really well. It's like he doesn't rely on these plot-driven narratives that, you know, there's got to be this big, you know, denouement at the end, and like there's got to be, you know, resolution. And he doesn't play into that, which I really like about his films. It's like, yeah, you're getting snapshots, little glimpses into these people's lives as though they were real people just living their everyday life. And sometimes it's happy and sometimes it's sad, and you know, sometimes you laugh with them, sometimes you laugh at them, sometimes you empathize with them and, you know, feel sad with them. But it is just kind of like he takes you on a little journey of what it's like to walk in Gloria's shoes or dance in Gloria's shoes.
Nice. Nice.
So we've spoken a lot about Gloria then. Let's speak about the man in her life then. So John Turturro as Arnold. What do we think of this character?
Great character.
Yeah?
Yeah. For me, he's just like a f*** boy.
Yeah.
In his 50s.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. He's like just lost all this weight and he's like, I'm going to get it on now.
Yeah, but he does that thing which like real life boys do. I mean, I you have to have experienced it, where he does this weird thing where I think all boys do this. I'm gonna say boy again. No, where they kind of have this like behavior of like, oh, my behavior is completely out of my control. I've treated you in this way, and I didn't intend. He doesn't take responsibility for any of his actions.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the thing which is just done so well, where you're just like in kind of he's sort of infuriating.
Oh.
I mean, I absolutely love John Turturro. Yeah. I think he's incredible, and he has just absolutely nailed that character. He really makes you feel stuff.
Yeah, and it feels like you put in the same position as Gloria as a viewer. Yes. You're like, what the hell is going on? Where did he go? Like,
yeah.
What? You know, you kind of just like, okay, I don't know what's happening with this character. He's so weird. He's just a weirdo.
He is. And his relationship, and I also feel like the film leaves a lot of questions.
Mm.
You kind of leave it and you still don't fully understand like the motivations for his character. And yeah, and I guess also it sort of delves into the complexities of when you do get divorced, when you're married and when you have kids, and how much that is probably, you know, really challenging when you start new relationships, and how what that looks like. But yeah, I sort of find the differences between the relationships between Gloria and Arnold and their kids, and how different they are, like really interesting.
Mm.
So like his children are very reliant on him, they need him, they're phoning him all the time, and her kids, she's like, they won't ever phone her back.
Yeah.
And she even says all the time, like, oh, it's your mother, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's just really weird. But it's just really interesting how different they are.
Yeah. I can't think of a performance that John Turturro's given that's like this before as well. He always plays a character with this weird, exuberant sort of confidence, almost like aggressive confidence.
Have you seen A Night Of? Is it HBA series?
Yes.
I feel like that's his quirk.
Oh, really?
It's very true. He's great in that. I don't know. I sort of was had in my head weirdly that this character in Gloria Bell, Arnold, is kind of like a Coen brother character, but if they lived in the real world.
Right.
You know what
he's,
I mean?
He's misplaced.
He's misplaced. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Just rocked
like,
up.
Just toned down a little bit, but still just like bizarre.
True. That's good.
Yeah.
So what about the other weird but brilliant supporting cast and characters we've got here. Who are the ones that jump out at you? Because I know the one that really has not left my mind. That's Brad Garrett. So he is Robert from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's her, he's Gloria Bell's ex-wife. And the scene where he gets drunk.
Ex-husband.
Yeah, he's her ex-husband. And the scene where he gets drunk at the dinner party is just so funny.
He's great.
But also really sad.
Yeah, yeah. There's also, I mean, every character in this film, you know, he treats everybody in the same way. They're like, they are complex, full characters. You know, even if we only see a glimpse of them, I think that his viewpoint and his directorial sort of view of the world is this humanistic, like, people are people and they're going through their own shit, you know, like, everybody's got shit. And I think, like, Michael Cera's character as well. Like, he's
how weird is that this character is played by Michael Cera, her son.
Yeah, I know. And he's just, like, he's angry. He's so angry.
I feel like his character's a bit of a walkover, though.
Yeah, because his wife's just off, like, travelling.
She's just, like, gone
traveling. Yeah.
Which is so interesting because of, like, how much Gloria isn't that way. She's always the opposite.
Yeah.
And then I think her daughter's brilliant in it.
She's so good.
She's South African, you know?
Really?
African
born, yeah.
Yeah, it's great supporting cast. And her mum.
Holland Taylor.
Yeah.
So good.
Also, Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Weird cameo.
He's there for like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good cameo, though. That's what a cameo should be. Yeah. It's just weird, like, oh my God, it's that guy. Yeah. And a real big part of this film, then, is its soundtrack. How did the soundtrack sit with you? How many times have you listened to it?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? For me, banger after banger.
Absolute banger after banger.
I just loved it. Obviously, because I've worked on the marketing and Gloria.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that.
Do it again?
No, I can't. No, it's too much pressure. It's been in my head probably for about 6 months. It's not an exaggeration.
It's very hard to get
out. Yeah, it's hard to get it out. And it's it's on, you know, a lot of our assets. It's on the trailer and some of our sort of yet to be released, like TV spots and stuff. So great soundtrack.
It's so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
This also just brings you so much joy.
Yeah.
Like, I think she speaks about that in the interview that you had with her. She sort of compared rom-coms to these kinds of songs on the soundtrack and the way that, like, Sebastian Lelio has said that, like, people deem these songs as guilty pleasures, but they're actually just pleasures.
Mm. Yeah.
I really like that part that she spoke about. Like, and in the same way that rom-coms, like these bring people just pleasure to watch them. You know, they're easy to watch. They're just so easy to watch. You go along with them. These songs bring you joy. There's ups and there's downs. But at the end of the day, you walk away, you kind of feel like, yeah, I'm really satisfied with that film. It's just such a good, like, yeah.
You
I like
feel
that
pumped
film.
For life.
You do
you know?
Feel pumped.
You do, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Even the ones that kind of on the nose, like No More Lonely Nights when she's with meets the guy, and then Alone Again naturally when she's not with the guy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a point to be made that they're on the nose, but you know, like, you will listen to those songs if you feel that way. So I don't mind.
And as well, this is thoroughly Gloria's world we're in as well here. Mm-hmm. You know, she's in every scene. It feels like she's in every shot. You're properly in this person's life, and when you're feeling those things, you do listen to those songs.
Yeah.
Finally, then, let's quickly talk about the idea of the film more as a rom-com, because I think it's something really interesting, that rom-coms are this weird genre thing that don't happen as much as they used to anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that when they do happen, they should be like this, like showing you people who we don't normally get in rom-coms, people who do things that they don't normally do in rom-coms.
Yeah. I think... sorry. Yeah, it's a different kind of rom-com, but, like, it kind of is... These kinds of films don't really get made anymore, you know, where it's... the humour's really subtle. Mm. It's not, like, on-the-nose humour. I think the humour comes from... it's situational, you know, and how these characters react to a situation in their daily routine, you know? And I think that, like, also, similarly, the romance isn't... everything about this film, as we spoke about earlier, like it's you know, she's yearning for this connection with someone else, and like she briefly finds it in Arnold, and they have this moment, but it's not the be all and end all of her life. The you know, rom, it's weird to call it a rom com, even though it kind of is, but it's different.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like it works in our world today.
Yeah,
because like, I think the concept of like, and then you meet your partner and you live together and it's happily, that's like very outdated. It's not what most people are experiencing. And like, you kind of want to see your reality in film. Like, otherwise, well, it kind of makes you kind of feel better.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you just want to, you want stories that you can connect to. I think that's why people like love cinema.
Yeah.
It's escapism, but also if you see something that you feel like resonates with you, then you have that sort of deeper like connection to it. So for me, I just think, yeah, this is much closer to reality.
Yeah. This is realism, but done really fun.
Like, yeah,
it's
exactly.
So enjoyable.
It's not bleak.
Yeah.
You don't, and I think that's the reality as well. You don't think, because like relationships like end, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, and it's not always, it's not such a dramatic
exactly
ending.
It's just like, oh, it didn't work out. Let's go and party.
Yeah,
And that's kind of what Gloria is. You know, she's just like
rolls with the punches.
Yeah, she rolls with the punches, and she's just like, I'll just go and get another drink and go to like party.
Yeah,
she just has a very like, she's just great. She's an icon.
She's an icon.
She's an icon for women.
She is.
There you go. You can see the iconic Gloria Bell in cinemas and on Curzon Home Cinema from June the 7th. Now, we asked you on Twitter to give us your best female-led films of the 21st century, as Variety magazine has called Gloria Bell one of the greatest female-led films of the 21st century. So before we turn to Twitter, what films also belong in that pantheon? What films have you guys got on your heads?
I think one of the top ones of mine was Erin Brockovich, mm-hmm, for sure. I love that film. I actually really need to see it again. I haven't seen it for years. And Kill Bill, which I've recently watched. There's loads of them, I think, yeah.
So when you asked me this question, I really panicked because I was like, I can't think of one. I can't think of anything. Oh my God, I feel so... And then I literally kept thinking of more and more and more. So I really liked Raw.
Oh, Raw's great. Yeah.
Great film. I think that Easy A needs to get a mention.
Yes.
Because I just absolutely love it. Emma Stone's great in it. Stanley Tucci. What a man. Oh. What a man.
Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson, one of the greatest on-screen parents.
Oh, so true.
Seriously, yeah. I want them to be my parents in real life, but in character. I really love Your Next. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm. Your Next. Yeah, yes. Oh, that's great.
Right?
Wow, I didn't expect you to say Your Next. But Your Next is so good.
Absolutely love that film.
Yeah, me too.
And she's
Adam Wingard.
Absolutely, yeah. She's such a badass. That girl, what's her name? She was in Home and Away.
Yeah, Australian actress. I can't remember her name, but incredible film.
And it's so unexpected.
Yeah. No,
I mean, I felt the film was really unexpected. Like, I absolutely love that film. I think Legally Blonde needs to get mentioned.
I watched it for the first time this weekend.
Right?
So good.
Right?
Yeah, really good. And just another kind of rom-com where the kind of the mission of getting the guy becomes, you know, plot B.
Yeah, exactly.
What else did I have? Hold, please. I wrote a list in eyeliner because I couldn't find my pen, which felt like a very Gloria Bell move. I've got, did I say Mean Girls?
Not yet, but please do.
Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that'll have to do. I want an honorary mention for Fleabag, even though I know it's not film, but
we'll
like it's just such a juicy character, you know?
Feels like
it's not a rom-com.
Not a rom-com,
really, does it fit? I don't know.
That fits fine,
I just wanted to mention it because...
Yeah, absolutely. And then on Twitter, we have at JL Film has suggested Volver, A Fantastic Woman, and Amelie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amelie's a good one.
At Scotty2207 has suggested Carol, Destroyer, which is now on Curzon Home Cinema.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Zero Dark 30, Under the Skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah.
At J Bontatibus, about Ellie, Aquarius, Birth, and Margaret. A couple of unknown ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Heisenbarge has suggested The Favourite, which I think is
incredible choice. I was going to say Booksmart as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Booksmart, we discussed last show. Yeah, mm-hmm. Love Booksmart.
Really good.
So we're rounding up the end of our show. Gloria Bell, you can watch on Curzon Home Cinema alongside Sebastian Lelio's previous film, Disobedience. Kelly, do you want to tell us a bit about some upcoming events in Curzon Cinemas?
Yes, I shall. So, if you are planning on seeing Gloria Bell on its opening night in our Knutsford, Oxford or Soho cinemas, you will be on the dance floor with some live DJs, having a disco boogie, sipping on some Gloria Bellinis.
Gloria Bellinis.
So do come on down to those cinemas if you wanna have a little boogie with us to celebrate Gloria Bell. And also on the 7th of June, that is, Peter Strickland will be joining us for two special events at Curzon Soho. One will be a Q&A following his preview screening of his new film, In Fabric, which is absolutely fantastic. You guys need to get to the cinemas to see that one.
We're going to have Peter Strickland on the show as well, coming up.
Oh, that's exciting.
Doing Strictly Strickland.
Strictly Strickland.
Yes. And he's also going to be doing an introduction to a 35mm print of Carnival of Souls, which is one of his favorite films and was also an inspiration for In Fabric. So come to Curzon Soho for those events.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for you guys for being on today's show. And to you for listening. If you have any thoughts on Gloria Bell or any other recent releases, do let us know by emailing podcast@curzon.com for next week's show, or you can tweet us at Curzon Cinemas. You can subscribe, leave a review and a comment, and you can find us on iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Kelly Powell on Twitter at
@KS_Powell.
Susie, are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I feel like it would be very disappointing to follow me.
Yeah?
Yeah, me but too, I am on Twitter at Susie Blues.
Excellent. And I am at SamHowlett_1. Susie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. What a joy.
What a joy.
It's fun. I'm sure it's been.
And I'm going to take your inspiration and continue writing an eyeliner.
No. Do you want to use mine?
Yes, please.
Yeah? It's actually a remarkably enjoyable write.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get a good pen.
Yeah.
And it just makes writing really fun. Try an eyeliner.
Eyeliner. Great. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yay!
We did it!
You did it too!
Was it okay?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.